And welcome to Dr. Ray Talks It Over, the program designed for parents and families, where the aim is to help you stand strong as a parent for your kids' sake. I'm your host, Jerry Usher, and today we're going to talk about giving parenthood back to parents. And here to talk with us about that is father of 10, psychologist, and author, Dr. Ray Guarendi. Dr. Ray, how you doing?
Hello, Jerry. How are you?
Just fine. It is so good to be working with you on this program, and looking forward to this series. I think it's going to be very informative for those who tune in and listen to it. Our topic today is giving parenthood back to parents. I would imagine a lot of parents don't realize they may have lost parenthood somewhere along the line.
That's exactly the point, Jerry. How do you have a show giving parenthood back to moms and dads if it hasn't been taken away? I've been shrinking now for about 20 years.
I noticed you're kind of small.
I used to be like 6'9". And what I am indisputably convinced of is that parents have had their sense of parenthood, their sense of confidence, their sense of authority, their sense of I know what I want for my child, stripped from them. I think historians are going to look back on this time and place in the history of the world and say, you know, I think that was an aberrant phenomenon going on in that 20th, 21st century American culture, where so many parents were feeling so insecure and so tentative and so unsure of themselves over raising their children.
What do you think caused that in parents?
Oh, how many shows do we have? 50, 60, 100? All right. Well, in the interest of time, I'm going to share with you a big one. Me, the experts, Jerry. There are millions of me. I am everywhere. I'm crawling all over television, all over the news media, all over the women's magazines, putting out thousands of books per year with my theories, with my ideas, with my notions. Net impact is the message. What do you know? You're just a mom. You're just a dad. Yeah, you can stumble your way along. Hopefully you won't foul it up too bad. But if you want to do this right, the way you're supposed to do it, according to the prevailing expert notions, well, you got to be state-certified, congressionally mandated child development ring, psychomental international on Oprah specialist. Look at what we've done, Jerry. I had a mom say to me not so long ago, my mom and dad seem so much more confident in raising us than I am in raising my children. I hear routinely from grandparents, you know, I raised 7 kids. I raised 11 kids. I can't recall having a fraction of the frustration with all 11 of mine that my daughter is having with her 7-year-old and her 4-year-old. Something significant has happened, Jerry, to alter the parenting landscape, and I'm going to take that finger and put it right on me and basically say there are so many experts. We are multiplying like amoebas, and never before in the history of child rearing, in my opinion, have so many parents felt, you know, maybe I'm not up to this. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not psychologically slick enough to raise an appropriate, well-adjusted human being.
Well, you know, there, it would seem to be, is it the chicken or the egg? I mean, did the parents first start to feel this way and then the experts filled that need? Or did the parents start to see the experts and hear them saying these things and that sort of fed in their minds this lack of confidence? Which is it, do you think?
We experts were coming along no matter whether you parents felt insecure or not. It was our time. It was that period of time in the last 2 generations in our country, our culture, that essentially says, we are here, we are on the scene, we will now correct all of the ignorance of these past millennia, and we'll straighten it out. And I sometimes tell my clients, how in heaven's name did parents get along prior to me getting on the scene? Prior to me being here to tell them what they needed to do in the psychologically correct way as a parent. I had a mom, it was my mother-in-law actually, I told her I'd try to get her in on the show, so this is my plug for her. I overheard her saying to my wife, she raised five children, you know, I don't remember sitting around with my friends talking about how frustrated my children make me, like parents do today. And I looked at her and I said, you know, Mom, I don't think you're just looking back through rose-colored nostalgic glasses, remembering a time that was pansies in the woods and little wood-covered bridges going over the creek. No, I think she was recalling legitimacy. There was a time not so long ago where the line between parent and child was much more clear. And the parent knew where that line was. When I started into this shrinking business, Jerry, had an experience where some of the first parents I met in the mental health centers had a number of children. I had no children. I wasn't even married yet. And I remember thinking, well, they know an awful lot about parenting. What are they doing coming to me for? The interesting thing was they viewed me as the expert. And I looked at them and said, I wish I had a fraction of their life experience. You got these farm moms with nine children, you know. They've been through all of the ranges, all of the developments, and here's this wet behind the ear, snot-nosed psychology student with a few letters after his name saying, well, you know, I think you need to be more sensitively attuned to what the child is saying, you know. And quickly I realized the arrogance of all that. My contention is, the first thing parents have to have is a sense of self-confidence, authority, and peace of mind, knowing how they want to raise that child according to their values, their morals, and their beliefs. And I'm hoping in the next times that you and I are together on this show, we are going to do just that. We're going to help these folks stand strong against a culture that in many cases is no longer on their side.
Well, do parents simply not realize the skills and talents that they have? I mean, you've made many references to previous ages and generations where these so-called experts were not there to provide this advice, this guidance, and so forth. Parents did a fine job. Do parents today just simply not realize that really within them they have the knowledge, the talents, the skills to do this? Are they just not aware?
Buffaloed. The relentless drumbeat of people like me going, yeah, you know, here's the right way to do it. Here's what you should do. You know, you haven't considered this. You know, if you leave him on the potty too long, he's going to grow up to be a tattooed-faced motorcycle gang member on acid, you know?
So the whole thing has been over-psychologized.
Oh, my, and we're going to get into that. But absolutely. But what has also happened is with I think, more the media experts, we're kind of everywhere. And our attitude is, you know, I really have the way that you should raise your child. And I think the hole there, especially for serious Christian parents, is that many, well, actually the majority, of the experts in the field are not coming from a religious perspective. And therefore, much of the advice that I, as an expert, give you if I am not a serious Orthodox Christian is irrelevant to you. I heard not so long ago, and this relates to your question of, do parents not realize that they've been undercut? On a very popular Christian show, they were interviewing an expert. And the expert said, you know, part of the problem, doctor, is that we don't train parents. You have to be trained to wire a house. You have to be trained to cut hair. You even have to be trained to drive a car. We, in the most important occupation in the whole world, don't train parents. On the surface, that sounds like a fairly enlightened thing to say, but let's ponder it a few steps deeper. It kind of implies that God is short-sighted. Now think about this a second. Jerry, when was it really possible to quote-unquote train parents via people like me, the experts? How long has that been possible in human history?
I have no idea.
Well, the last 40 years, 50 years, right?
Sure.
Okay, really, basically with the onslaught of the experts.
Okay.
All right. Prior to that time, in all of human history, There were no mental health types. There were no psychologist types. Therefore, God basically said, look, people, I'm going to give you this little created being, and you are responsible for nurturing it and guiding it and teaching it about the kingdom of God. Now, it really won't be until the latter half of the 20th century that you'll really be able to be trained. Prior to that, you're going to have to stumble your way along just relying on old archaic things like common sense and good judgment,
right,
and love and perseverance and creativity and sense of humor.
Discipline. Yeah.
And discipline. Yes. Don't mishear what I'm saying. I am not saying you take people like me and just throw me out the door. I think we have a
role to play.
Yeah, we have a role. Certainly not as big as it's been. Where my argument is that all too often people look at experts as though they are the gospel. When folks phrase questions to me, they will routinely say, what's the right way to get my child to quit fighting with his sister? What am I supposed to do when my child mouths off to me? Do you think it's right to give a child an allowance? The questions are always phrased in, would you please tell me the psychologically correct way to handle this problem?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, Dr. Ray, you got any ideas on this? You got any suggestions I might consider? And I always tell parents, they say, well, how are you any different, Ray? You're an expert, so are we supposed to listen to you? I say, well, here's where I try to draw a distinction. Whatever I tell you, you weigh it. You decide. Does it fit within your moral system? Does it make sense to you? Is it consistent? Does it jive with common sense and experience? If so, use it. Try to raise the best kid you can raise. If you don't think so, you look at Dr. Ray and you go, well, I'm sorry, Ray. I'm not going to go with that one.
Well, plus it would seem like every bit of advice, every situation has to be taken individually because every child is different.
That's the issue. The old one size fits all.
Right. There is no manual. It says in section 3.A.21 that I'm supposed to do this in this situation.
And experts are not deliberately trying to do this, Jerry. I really don't think that. I don't think that my profession and the related mental health professions are sitting out there going, all right, let's just see how we can make parents feel inadequate and insecure and incompetent. I don't think so. But it comes across in our language. If you listen or read most popular experts, watch the language. It is seldom things like, here's a few ideas you might want to consider for your family. It is much more often things like, well, you know, children who have been raised this way oftentimes turn out to be serial murderers. Children who don't have appropriate self-images find themselves in therapy 7 times as often. It's very scary, kind of psychologically threatening.
Statistical.
Yeah, it's threatening language. It's the old, okay, don't listen to me, but don't say I didn't warn you. I'm thinking of a classic example. Not so long ago, in the women's magazines, there was an article. The 10 worst things you can say to a child. And they listed these 10 things that you as a parent better never say because your kid's going to be on Springer someday, you know, for taking up a whole week. And I figured, all right, I'll look at these 10 worst things. Well, I don't know, Jerry, about you, but on any given day, I'll say 4 or 5 of them. And you give me a week, I'll run the whole list. It was things like this. Because I said so, that's why. Do it or else. Just leave me alone. You don't come now, I'm leaving without you. You know, my dad raised me on that one.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you could make the case that these are not the coolest things to say. But the 10 worst? And the interesting thing was, not only did they tap into the things that many parents say because we're unescapably human, but there was a paragraph after each of those things warning you.
what would happen.
What would happen.
Mm-hmm.
What children can be like. All the problems they can develop. Someday they're going to be sitting on a couch somewhere talking about you, using huge amounts of therapy time because you said four of these eight things. That's exactly my point. And that kind of language just frightens the dickens out of parents, and you can see it even among those. Here's the irony, Jerry. Grand irony. Very popular airwave psychologist did a survey of his listening audience, his parents. And I think they got responses in the tens of thousands. And he made the observation that he was stunned at how insecure and how self-doubting and how questioning these moms were who wrote back to him. And I remember listening to this thinking, we do this. Of course they're questioning. Of course they doubt, because we are the ones who are making them feel like, you know, you could be messing it up here and you don't even realize it. But here's the irony. Jerry, who are the people most likely to listen to this show? If some parent is shooting through the dial and hears Dr. Ray talks it over about parenting, who are the folks most likely to stop and go, oh, I want to hear what that guy has to say?
Hopefully parents.
And what kind of parents?
I would guess parents who are concerned about helping their kids,
the
raising
parents,
good kids.
Right? Yeah, the parents who, the only people who listen to me are parents who are trying hard to be good parents. The very people that probably have the wherewithal, the common sense, the good judgment to do the job. The people who really need the help because they're bad at this, they're not going to listen to Dr. Ray. When I wrote my first book, I titled it, You're a Better Parent Than You Think. An interviewer said to me, how can you say this when there are so many parents out there that are not better parents than they think? And I said, how likely is it that an uninvolved, bad parent will go buy a parenting book?
You know, one thing I would like to get your thoughts on, and that is the whole notion of this whole show is about confidence of parents and perhaps not recognizing their abilities and talents and so forth. How much does this play into it, where each generation sort of pushes the envelope a little bit? You know, you and I get away with certain things as we're growing up. So we become parents, and our kids are going to say, well, Mom and Dad did such and such. They're going to push it a little bit further. Parents may be tempted to say, well, you know, honey, we did such and such, and we, how can we tell the kids, you know, they can't do it? You know what I'm saying? It's sort of,
old, I have to be morally perfect to raise my child.
Yeah, but it's sort of each generation is going to bend the rules a little bit more, stretch the limits, push the envelope a little bit more.
You want to be a strong parent? Start out with this basic axiom. You want your children to be better than you were. If you are the upper moral limit to what your children can be, we are all in big trouble. I want my kids to reach beyond me. If I made stupid moves, or if I pushed the envelope as an adolescent, then I hopefully learned from my foolishness, and I'm going to be ever more vigilant that they don't do the same foolish things that I tried. I always tell that to parents. You have the absolute right to raise your child morally as our Lord wants. The fact that you in the past didn't live up to that is completely irrelevant. What happens if you have an adult Christian conversion? I look back in the first 31 years of my life and I was a wretch. And then I go, at age 31, I came to know and love the Lord. And now I'm raising children. Well, pretty much everything I did my first 31 years is going to be kind of irrelevant to the moral lessons I want to teach my daughter or my son. So I always tell parents, remember this. Your right to teach as you see fit is completely independent of what you were like. And Jerry, I'm going to take it a step further. What you are like. If I smoke, do I not have the right to tell my son, look, son, I'm addicted to this ugly, bad habit. It's not right for me. I haven't yet gotten rid of it. But my goal is to stop you from even starting it. If, in fact, I as a young mother got pregnant out of wedlock, I would hope that I would be even more vigilant with my daughter because I realize now full well what happened to me when I made bad judgments, as opposed to saying, oh, I don't have any right to tell her anything. Look what I did. Sure.
Right, that's exactly the idea. Plus, our society says a lot of times today, kids are going to do such and such an activity anyway.
Oh, let's aid and abet them.
Yeah, exactly.
That is
how do parents combat that?
Oh, my. Cliche thinking. Cliche thinking dominates the parenting landscape. You know, you can't protect them forever. They're going to get into these kind of things. You can't kind of make them a child that just doesn't know how to deal with life. If children are going to be tempted by drugs, are we going to go out and just buy them a bag of cocaine? Are we going to say, well, you know, I know you're going to get into alcohol anyway, so here's a pint of Jack Daniels. Might as well do it now. No, parents used to instinctively know, my job is to protect you from the foolishness and the lack of conscience and the immaturity of your childhood. I don't surrender. And by the way, Jerry, that is an expert idea that's been pushed upon parents. That in fact, they're going to do these ugly things, and you as a parent are not going to stop it, and you as a parent had best just help them deal with it better. No. The wisdom of the ages says we protect our children from their foolishness so that as we establish our moral system, at some point, they are sturdy enough morally to go, I don't want any part of that, Dad. If you expose a 7-year-old or a 9-year-old or an 11-year-old to foolish behavior simply because, well, you know, he's going to hear those words anyway. He's going to watch that stuff on TV when he's old enough. Why don't we just surrender to the culture then and say, here, raise my child?
Mm-hmm. Great point. What about the whole notion of parents wanting to be their children's friend? I've seen situations where I think that gets in the way of them being able to properly discipline and be the parent. The topic of our show today, giving parenthood back to parents. A lot of parents have surrendered their parenthood wanting to be their child's friend. How do you reconcile the two of those
ideas? I'm going to give you two ideas. Now, one of them is really tough. In these days of smaller families, you put all your eggs a little bit in one basket. So the pressure to have an always idyllic relationship with one or two children is much more intense. In my situation, for example, I got 10 kids. So if one of my kids tells me I don't like you, I just look at them and go, so what? I got 8 or 9 who do? You know, it takes a lot of the pressure off.
Yeah, right.
I remember
one of the benefits of a big family.
That's
You've always got
right.
someone who loves
Somebody's
you.
Liking me. Somebody I just gave a cookie to.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I looked at my mom and I said, I don't like you. She looked at me. She said, you know, Raymond, you're a little bit behind. I stopped liking you last year. You know, that was back before you could bully parents with that kind of psychological warfare. Simple rule about being your child's friend. You can be your child's best friend if you are the parent first. If you are a friend first, it's very hard to be the parent.
We're getting close to running out of time on this episode. Unfortunately, there's so much more to talk about. Maybe we should just steer it toward talking about the benefits of confident parenting. How is a child going to view parents if they are confident, strong, give wise discipline, wise counsel, and so forth? What are going to be the benefits to the child of this?
Sometimes I'll tease my clients. What would your mother have done had you acted that way with her? Oh, I never would have done that with my mother. Why not? Well, we just knew. You just knew what? that we better not. Why not? Because? Because why? Oh, something would have happened. What? I don't know. Why don't you know? It never happened. Why didn't it happen? We never did it. Why didn't you do it? Something would have happened. What? I don't know. Why don't you know? It never happened. It's an Abbott and Costello routine. But it bespeaks of confident parenting. Many of us look at our own parents and go, oh my, that's a line I never would have crossed. And I can't tell you how many young adults now say to me, you know what kept me out of trouble as an adolescent? Do you know what kept me from going certain places where I was tempted to go? I knew my parents would have my hide. There was that sense of they were confident in themselves. They weren't going to question themselves. They were going to stop that behavior dead in its tracks. So often I'll say to grandparents, you know, these young parents look at you and say, didn't you ever have bedtime problems with your children? And the grandparents will go, yeah, certainly we did. Once? Yeah. Maybe twice? Yeah,
that was it.
That was it! Because it was that sense of, I am the parent, you are not. If you lack confidence, Jerry, as a parent, nothing will work. I don't care how slick your technique. I don't care how fancy your reflecting language. I don't care how actively you listen. I don't care what reinforcement stickers you put on your refrigerator. If you don't have the confidence as a parent that says, I am in this role because God put me here. I am ordained for this role by God. And therefore, son, I have to make these judgments. You don't have that. Everything takes longer and harder to work for you.
Dr. Ray, how can people get more information on these topics and get in touch with you?
www.kidbrat.com. I know you're laughing. That's the truth. It's kidbrat.com.
Well, that's very good. Dr. Ray, we're looking forward to being together once again. Next time, we're going to talk about some of the myths of parenthood and how to overcome those. So thanks very much for being with us, and we'll do it again next time.
Thank you, Jerry.